The Russell Brand Unfiltered Interview happens now, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Well, I'm very excited about this interview, and so is my wife. Everybody loves Russell Brand. So we got 45 minutes with him doing his show after we just aired the Tucker Carlson mega insane bombshell. And the dessert is Russell Brand. Two great titans of liberty, really authentic, real people reaching tens of millions of people a day. So, Russell, in the time we have, I like to talk. I'm going to really try to let you talk this time instead of me talking about the state of the world right now, the censorship, the attacks, World War III, how we turn this around, the Great Awakening. I mean, it's so paradoxical. All the top talk show hosts in the world now are anti-globalist, pro-human, which is simple. Humans want freedom. That's not a not rocket science. And you've got Elon Musk and just everything. So up there in the panopticon, you know, in the constellations of leaders fighting tyranny, it's Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan and Russell Brand and Elon Musk up there as the North Star. Say what you want, but the proof's in the pudding. This is an amazing time. So thanks for being here. I want you to have the floor as much as possible because I love to talk. And just, first of all, you say, how would you describe your life's journey and then where we are today?
First part of life is about trying to escape from the conditions of birth, recognizing that there are material restrictions, and then feeling that maybe social and cultural roots will provide a solution. You know, maybe if I become a star, if I have material means, if I can get myself to Hollywood, if I can become a stand-up comedian, if those things play out for me, maybe I'll be okay. But all the while, as a drug addict, first of all, and then a recovering drug addict, recognizing there has to be a greater spiritual solution. And because I'm a drug addict in recovery, and because I'm from an ordinary background there in the UK, recognizing that there seem to be these systems of authority and control that you have to navigate and negotiate and deal with, even if these are simple little things like school and law and order, and that they claim moral and ethical supremacy, but you see that perhaps they're being controlled by other ulterior or somehow transcendent systems. Then, you know, for a minute, the hedonism is enough, the drugs are enough, the promiscuity and the access to favors and delights and pleasures and distractions and prestige are enough. But because of that sort of spiritual yearning that any recovery drug addict or alcoholic will know, any seeker will know, there's a kind of sense that this is not it. This was never it. Of course, success, personal individual success, is never going to be enough. All the while, amidst this, I'm still occupying peripheral spaces as a person in recovery. I'm still educating myself with people like you and David Icke, listening to renegade voices, reading esoteric books, looking at credible academic sources, as well as people like you that suffer smears and condemnation and attacks that aren't perfect, that make mistakes, don't we all, damn it? And starting to aggregate and accumulate and curate my own purview that's like, hey, there's some sort of, there's a radical movement available. There's a radical movement available if you're brave enough to participate. I held up Bill Hicks's book for a moment while you were talking, not just because of the ongoing conspiracy theories that you are the risen ghost of Bill Hicks, but because he's such a great American voice, such a brilliant comedian, such an important and vital radical, such a brilliant evangelist and preacher. So first, poverty. Second, infatuation with materialism. And finally, ultimately, very slowly, like the dumb person I surely must be, the recognition, acknowledgement, and awakening to the fact that if you are not able to tackle personal attachment, personal egotism, personal longing, then you cannot be a servant of the many available causes, but the one ultimate cause, our vital fight for free speech, our vital fight for personal sovereignty, our vital fight to be able to create a marketplace of ideas that isn't brokered by bureaucratic forces that claim that they're there to help you, that ultimately seem to be there to control you. Thank you for the great work that you have done, Alex Jones, and the personal price that you have paid in ensuring that these spaces continue to exist.
But Russell, what I think you say is key. You've come from nowhere but a top Hollywood star, huge comedian, done everything, and now you've been turning for years against it. That's a message to people that feel like they can not only get success with the system. I think what I'm getting is you're saying the system is broken and is gone, and now it's the exodus out of the system, and there's that kind of wild, move away from it. But I think it's that process, though it's helter-skelter, that's going to take us to the next level.
Yeah, that's right. The system will ultimately choke you. The system will only favor you, adorn you, and celebrate you as long as it can utilize and exploit you. For a moment, it's easy. Any person with an ego will think, wow, my success is based on the fact that I'm fantastic in some way. But it was a friend of mine who said that when you see yourself on a billboard on Sunset Boulevard promoting a movie and you see your name up in lights, you think for a moment you must be some real hot shit. Then you realize it's just the inadvertent side effect of someone else making money from you. You could temporarily be deployed as a unit or as a useful idiot, or pick a term, as someone that's useful to a particular agenda and particular set of objectives. Now that we have the ability to communicate and expose and convey counter narratives, it's getting harder and harder for them to centralize control as more and more diffuse systems of communication become available. The natural tendency is towards individual freedom and community freedom. The new elites don't know how to tackle and control this yet. So they're inventing new laws around censorship, new ability to surveil, new bureaucratic means to shut people down and control them, because the flow of power is towards maximum freedom. Freedom is our natural environment. With personal freedom and respect for the freedom of others, you don't need the amount of bureaucratic intervention. It seems to me that what we're living through now, as all of us begin to recognize that you can't trust the media, you can't trust the judiciary, you cannot trust the state, you cannot trust the big corporations nor the bodies that are supposed to regulate them, you cannot trust the law itself, because it is not derived from holy principles, it is derived from materialistic endeavor and a desire to control and subjugate. As people realize this, as people communicate, any one of the voices that you've listed now, people will say, Jordan Peterson, he's controlled opposition. Alex Jones is controlled opposition. Russell Brand is controlled opposition. Tucker's controlled opposition. But sooner or later, we're going to have to recognize that there are new and unique alliances potentially emerging that collectively can oppose a significant centralized threat when it comes to the control of information, but a threat that is being countenanced, is being opposed. We are pushing back.
No, you just hit the nail on the head. I know I'm real, and I'm honored to be compared to Bill Hicks, but I have nothing to do with Bill Hicks. But I'm honored. But you're absolutely right. People don't believe in victory because they've been demoralized. The fact that freedom is so popular, like take Elon Musk. Headline, Elon Musk had sex with an employee consensually. Who cares? Did he launch a war and kill 10 million people? Did he start World War III? Did he put HIV and hepatitis in the Bayer Factor VIII product? No, he didn't. Who cares if Elon Musk had a consensual relationship with an employee and said, I want to have a baby with you? I mean, it's like a beautiful story. Oh, my God, he's not married. He has sex with an employee and says, I want to marry and have a baby. Give the guy a frickin' medal. So the idea is they're attacking people that are following the basic human programming, like they tried on you to make you bow in the last 6 months. It was all made up. It was all a lie. But that's what they do, and it shows how desperate they are. You can have drag queen pedophile time with convicted pedophiles with kids sitting on their laps at libraries. That's fine. You can have fentanyl, hundreds of thousands of deaths. You can have open borders, sex trafficking. That's all fine. But, oh, my God, women like Russell Brand or Elon Musk had a girlfriend consensually. It's not working, though. It's not having an effect now.
Viva Fry, who's a fellow contributor on Rumble, yesterday gave me this great quote from a legal expert. Show me the man and I'll show you the lawsuit. And this makes so much sense to me. Now, as a Christian, as a person that's pursuing a spiritual path, I can recognize that ethically and morally, my selfish, promiscuous sexual conduct was reckless and foolish. But God, at the time, it was celebrated. It was certainly consensual. People, like the part of being a Hollywood star and a comedian who's announcing on stage, hey, if you want to have sex with me, come backstage, is that there are a lot of people, you know, in my case as a heterosexual man, women that are well up for that. It was unbelievable. I grew up as a pudgy little chubby kid, a nervous, shy little boy in Grays in Essex, full of doubt. So suddenly to become a big star and have access to all that early in recovery from drugs and addiction is the most exciting thing in the world. Pretty quickly, if you've got anything about you spiritually, you'll start to recognize, this isn't right, is it, to live like this?
And you'd suddenly already gotten, exactly, I was the same way, not at your level, but up there. It was empty. And I got a family, got married, it all stopped. But the idea that you with consensual sex is a great crime, while the UN running giant sex slavery and Jeffrey Epstein, notice how they hold that up as, oh, Russell Brand and Alex Jones and, oh, my God, you know, Trump cheated on his wife. He's a devil. Well, his wife didn't leave him. They worked it out. That's not a crime against humanity. That's normal human behavior. We could have done better. But the idea that they hold us out as the devil is a fraud. The real devil's starting World War III. The real devil's putting poison shots in our arms. It's not Russell Brand. Women love him. And he's just, I'm sorry, it's not a crime.
It's pretty extraordinary. But again, to that quote, you know, show me the man and I'll show you the lawsuit. If you've spent a long time having promiscuous sex with strangers, you're obviously creating a terrain of vulnerability. And again, from a spiritual perspective, of course I should have done better as a man. Of course my job here is to help people find their own way to connection. And if not purity, then at least some kind of salvation. At least I could be useful. At least I could be here helping people. And that's not how I was living. I was living selfishly.
Yeah, but you didn't kill millions in Iraq cutting their food off, so you shouldn't apologize.
Well, no, I did do that. I claimed that they were weapons of mass destruction. And then what I did is I marshaled the world's armies into a war that created a mass terrorist response. And then that very same system that we use over there in Iraq, I deployed that domestically against the British population and the American population. Then I created the Five Eyes movement, where so that we could transgress national laws on surveillance and privacy, I was able to make sure that Australia spied on British people and New Zealand spied on American people, and we all exchanged the info. Oh, no, that wasn't me. That's the systems of power that we're trying to oppose. You know what I suppose I reject most strongly, Alex, is the idea that these systems of dominion and damnation care about people. They're always saying, like, you know, we have to protect you from misinformation. We have to protect you from malinformation. We have to protect you from Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson. You have to protect you from Joe Rogan. Is going to make you take the wrong medicine. Tucker Carlson is going to make you believe the wrong thing. Alex Jones has erred in some way. I don't believe that they care about ordinary people. I believe they care about centralized authority, and anyone that is a threat, no matter how minor or how major, will be smeared, will be shut down.
And Russell,
they will find a way to control you.
And I totally agree. And I'm not here lecturing you. I just watch your show. My wife watches it. We watch it every day. It comes out like 3 or 4 days a week. We watch you. And you're always apologizing. You didn't do anything. You're a famous movie star. Women wanted you. Let's move on. You did not launch war crimes. You did not lie about WMDs. You did not kill millions of people. I want to play this clip because I was the same way 7, 8 years ago. They would attack me, and I'd try to be reasonable. I'm not perfect because we're not arrogant. Yeah, you're right. They would then use that against me. Just move on. They're the criminals. Here's Madeleine Albright on 60 Minutes. 2 years into the Clinton administration, they killed 2 million by the end of it, half of them kids. It was a million then, half of them kids. So she says, I would do it again. Here she is killing a 500,000 children, cutting off food and medicine, and then Russell Brand is the bad guy. It's not about kissing Russell Brand's ass. Russell Brand didn't kill anybody. Russell Brand's not bad. The globalists are bad. Here it is.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but we think the price is worth it.
And she goes on to say she'd do it again. So let's move on. You didn't kill 1 million kids, 500,000 at the time. So let's talk about the real guilty, Fauci. The whole thing is collapsing. All the studies, mass death, down to 35 million dead from the shots. Where does Russell Brand, a smart guy, think this is all going? Because the system is collapsing. What do you think they're going to pull, and what comes out of this?
Firstly, can I just ask you, do you think that it is 35 million people have died from various vaccine or gene therapy related injuries? Do you think that's the number, Alex?
Yeah, the numbers only come out a year later. So they're always a year late. That's how the insurance company actuaries work. So by 2022, it was 10 million. By 2023, the number came out from the year before, 2022, it was 22 million. And yeah, the new numbers are 35 million dead. I mean, they admit 40% overall global all-cause mortality increase of death, 35 million. So yeah, 35 million conservatively dead.
And you're basing that on, that's the number of excess deaths. There's no other explanation. There's been no other mass event. And with everything we're learning about turbo cancers and various heart conditions and various other neurological conditions and the observable impact on children and some of the reported yellow card events, this is a conservative, maybe.
Yeah, but let's just change the subject. You were a rock star and had a bunch of women. That's what matters. Let's just talk about that.
Yeah, I feel you. And like, what, Alex, what I suppose is, what I feel like is, over time, incrementally, we are able to observe the position at the commencement of the pandemic, and we were able to observe where we are now, the sort of slow release of information. Oh, okay, it was a lab leak. Okay, there was research that the EcoHealth Alliance were participating in. Yes, the NIH were involved in that funding. There were distinct batches. There was investment from this group and that group. This medication was patented. Slowly, you start to realize, and this is a device I use on my show, is I say that we're closer to the Alex Jones prognosis than the BBC prognosis, even by what's being acknowledged in legacy media outlets when it comes to the distinction from what they were saying at the beginning to what they're saying now.
Many years ago, I coined the term 360 win. That's another way of saying it's a non-zero sum game. When you have a some game, it's a pizza, there's only so many pieces, it doesn't get bigger. But if something is symbiotic, if something empowers everybody involved with it, it is a 360 win. When you visit drjonesnaturals.com, you're not just supporting our broadcast by getting the products, you're getting game-changing products that really, really work and are amazing. All of the Nano Silver products, incredible products like Next Level Foundational Energy, products like Top Brain, an incredible nootropic, Rocket Rest, an incredible natural sleep aid, and dozens of other products not available at InfoWarsStore.com or exclusively available at drjonesnaturals.com. And they keep the show on the air, and they're amazing, a 360 win. So please follow the links below to drjonesnaturals.com, and I thank you for your support. And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
So plainly, this was an extraordinary event. I'd love to ask you, do you think it was a unique event in so much as that they were taking unique actions, or was it unique because we were able over a short time frame to see how these institutions work together? Was it a unique event in terms of its scale or just our ability to observe?
I mean, I think it's both. If you read the Rockefeller Foundation, Lockstep, 2011, and you read all the rest of the stuff, they said we're going to use the virus to control. And so this was their play. It was all on purpose. It wasn't a mistake. I see Congress like, Fauci, admit you made a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I did not make a mistake. No, it was not a mistake. It was a premeditated power grab for depopulation to corrupt the medical system and get full control. So if tyrants are going to make a move, it's going to be their medical system. So they did it. So now it's blown up in their face. And now they're trying to bring back bird flu. So the next question is, how do we counter their next operation? We're all vindicated. And it's not about, oh, I'm vindicated, aren't I great? No, it's about stopping the next event. So you've been through hell exposing the truth. So has Joe Rogan. So has Tucker Carlson. All of us, all the listeners and viewers. And so the bigger debate is, wow, the globalists aren't invincible. They're not. They're tyrants that believe they were. The bigger question is, what are they going to pull next? And then what is the right course of action to take control of the system and then stop them from the next attack? That's where I'm at.
I suppose the next attack is likely to be an escalation of hostility between Western powers and Russia, potentially all-out war, or there will be some regulation imposed because of climate change, or there will be some kind of new pandemic. I suppose what we can assume is that crisis in conjunction with the ability to impose regulation appears to be the template. What's weird about this, Alex, I think, is 20 years ago, 30 years ago, before this space became so mercurial and volatile, this would have been an analytic you would have got from Noam Chomsky or Naomi Klein in shock doctrine, the way that the CIA and various deep state forces would create coups and opportunity for power grabs in South and Latin American countries. We're now just seeing deployed domestically in the same way that some of the methods and technology that's been used in Middle Eastern nations to cause disruption and to subvert their power systems is being domestically deployed here. The very same technology, the very same agencies. So I suppose the reason that the control of information is so vital is if you have a well-informed population that are by default in opposition to regulatory measures, are by default against authoritarianism, then it is much harder to whatever the next wave is going to be. It's going to be much harder to implement it when you have a population that's default position is not compliance, but is disobedience and opposition.
Well, I mean, that's it, Russell. And I don't want to understate this or overstate it. There's no way to overstate it. Ladies and gentlemen, humanity is winning. People, on average, get it's a lie. We have 4% uptake on the 10th booster. People get it. So a corrupt, degenerate, inbred power structure that's supposed to be thrown away with a new establishment is being defeated. So their next inclination is, as you said, World War III with Russia to try to overturn the chessboard. So we have actually won the intellectual, cultural, economic, medical debate, but the establishment is so used to victory, they're not going to give up. So in that paradox is where we are right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Alex. Sometimes you and I, when we're talking about this, stray into, and it's difficult, I suppose, because it's almost impossible to corroborate. I know that in the earlier part of your career, you looked into the potential occultist forces that are involved. When before you mentioned Epstein and some of the stories around trafficking and exploitation, it seems that like sex and occultism are sort of in the mix here. Do you ever think that you want to not report on that aspect of it? Or do you think that it's vital and is integral to the reporting on these stories to acknowledge that there appears to be some demonic component? Or do you consider that there might be a benefit in focusing on what can be corroborated? What where, you know, for example, now, because of the pandemic, you can make those calculations about excess deaths. You can even say something that sounds pretty outlandish to a lot of people, 35 million died from the gene therapies, vaccines, pick your term. What do you feel about getting into the more esoteric stuff around demonic forces and occultism that might undergird or somehow be behind these power struggles?
Well, look, nobody laughs at us now talking about the occult. And so this is a spiritual battle. This is going on. If you don't recognize that, you can't even respond to it. So this whole system is about getting us to go against the very fabric of who we are. So let's take sex. Sex is a man and woman with all of this evolutionary past, and it's in all the animals, it's in all the plants, like flowers are the sexual organ, the female organ of a plant to get pollen, the bees separate it all. I mean, so of course the Satanists obsess on that because they can corrupt that. They've got full control. That's where the real magic's happening. So the occult is all just an inversion of the real power of procreation. The real power of life is about procreation, is about coming together, is about the opposites, is about this magic. So it's not that sex is bad, it's that what they've done to it is bad, corrupting it because it is the fulcrum or the center of the wheel which everything orbits around. So that's why they want to target the children and ruin them early and get them into all of this because they can then control their psyche into the future. So the fact that we're aware of this gives us amazing foresight and power into the future, that following normal human programs that we were given by God through nature is what we should do. And any attack on that is an attack on our very fundamentals. We are not happy unless we follow these strictures that are incredible. great lives, great husbands, great wives, great children, grandchildren, the future. It's what we do. It's not like men and women having sex and having children is like some thing we do, like going to a football game. It is what we are. It's what it's all designed, from the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, to the trees, to the flowers, to all the animals. This is what we do. This is a holy ritualistic event of a coming together and competition in life. And so, of course, the Satanists focus on that and twist sex to make us think sex is bad. No, sex is holy. Sex is from God, but it's got to be done the way God directed it. And that's why they're attacking it, is because it's so powerful.
Yes, I see. That everything that is an intersectional point or an interface between the divine and the material, the human and the holy, becomes an interface that ought be tainted. And it also becomes, I suppose, a nexus for power and for control. Because that, I suppose, is one of the questions I still deliberate over. How much can you advance this conversation simply by focusing on matters of dominion and resource? Can you have a conversation with your audience, with your community, where you say, look, it appears that through bureaucracy, they are using crisis to centralize authority, to delegitimize all freedom, to divide us from one another. And then sort of stop there, not to say, and I wonder what the motivation for this could be. It can't just be because they want to have nicer houses and more access to privilege than other people. Perhaps there are darker, I was looking at Ephesians. So is that what you're pulling up now? In the Bible, God's first command to humanity in Genesis is be fruitful and multiply, right? So the sanctity and sacredness of sex. The command is also found in Genesis 9, verses 1 and 7, and chapter 35, 11 in Christian theology. Procreation is seen as a moral command that is part of the creation mandate. In Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And that's in the New King James.
Well, let's expand on that. I want you to go further, because we go back to sex. God gave us sex, not the devil. You grow up, you're like, oh, the devil, cheerleader, Satan, it's fun. I was into all that. I was there. But it's all a perversion. Imagine a man and a woman that love each other get together. They merge their genetics and create a new creature that can create art and literature and is a free will. That is the ultimate ritual. God gave us the powerful ritual of procreation, and so that is what is under attack. So I'll go back to that. Why is Satanism obsessed with sex? Because sex is literally the ritual. It is so powerful. It is so amazing. And then it makes a man and woman who've now come together to make this creature want to defend it and promote it, which goes into the future. It is a union of resistance against anything that will destroy it. So Satan hates that Congress, that alliance of men and women that create the future. That's why we go back to sex, is because everything is about procreation. Everything is about Genesis. Everything is about that wavelength, and that's why it's under attack.
Do you think that there is a kind of aim to annihilate all that is holy, to desecrate and destroy all that is beautiful, that we are somehow in a playground of eternity, where great forces through material means conduct a divine battle, a battle where good and evil is literally playing out? And you were saying that sort of Congress is one of sexual Congress is one of the sort of intersectional points.
Well, that's it. I mean, think about God made us. God made the universe, made the planet, made all everything is sex, like plants and animals. It's all around you. The pollen, the air. I mean, it's like. And then the fake Christians who are controllers who work for Satan tell you, oh, no, sex is bad. No, it's everything God gave us. That. Let's go ahead and go to Bikini Truther in Nevada. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I do want to say one thing about Dr. Jones Naturals, if I could. I know it's off topic, but it's super important to me.
Sure.
During COVID, I went there and I got the facial serum. It's called Super Silver Facial Serum. And I'm telling you that it's changed my life. My son started taking it. His acne went away. And it's really good for underneath the face cream that I put on every day. And so I know that you need support. And that's one item. that so that we can stay out of World War III to keep you on air is for people to go there and get stuff.
Absolutely. This is a patented nano silver, way beyond colloidal silver, that's in the creams, in the face spray, in the toothpaste, in the wound gel, and in the immune gargle, and it's amazing. And you're absolutely right. People that have acne have had incredible results with this, so I'm very thankful that you liked it, and I hope you'll continue to support DrChoiceNaturals.com because my dad's our big sponsor. The deep state's coming after him, and so it's a strategic place to support, plus they're great products, DrChoiceNaturals.com. Anything else you want to add?
No, just I appreciate you, and God bless.
Thank you for your support. Now, please take action by going to DrJonesNaturals.com today and checking out the amazing products. But I want to ask you, Russell, looking at all this and the human awakening and the desire for liberty, what is your view right now, your feeling about where humanity is right now?
I love this, that you've those of you that are watching this visually, showing that moment of luxation, that luminous moment of creation, that there is a let there be light moment at the inception of every individual. A beautiful fractal reality plays out, a moment of creation and light at the cellular level. Twice we have been a single cell. Once personally, we have been a single cell, then a dual cell entity. And once more at the beginning of the material journey that itself is divine, even if it plays out in Darwinian terms across the material plane. Twice we have been a single cell, then two cells unfolding through light into this reality. I wonder... Alex, about the extraction of the divine, and I suppose you're asking me a pretty broad question. What happens now? Well, I wonder. I'm terrified. I'm terrified sometimes by the incredible scale and scope of power. I'm terrified when I watch it play out domestically in American politics. I'm terrified when I see it play out in my country. I'm terrified to see how many things you've said publicly. Aside from the things which you have done your own mea culpas for, the times that you have been ahead of the curve. I said it on a show yesterday. I think I was talking to Chris Pavlovsky at Rumble. Like, you know, that we've got Alex Jones prior to 9/11 saying there's this guy, Osama bin Laden, the CIA are going to blow up the World Trade Center. They're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden and Al Qaeda. Then they're going to use it as an excuse to go to war. I feel that once someone's got the footage of that, you have to consider what that person says pretty carefully going forward. And I've said to you in one of our previous conversations that you, in a culture that revered evangelism, or if not shamanism, which I understand can be seen as trying to use God for your own purposes, but prophecy or channeling or all of the various terms that could be applied to metaphysical discourse, I feel that because we live a materialistic and solely rationalistic life, we've excluded the possibility that people have extraordinary capacities and abilities. Now, when I look at this just on a material plane, Alex, I'm terrified. I'm terrified to see what happens to everyone who speaks out, to everyone who is dissenting. I'm terrified by the various means by which they are leveraging care and safety in order to create more authority. I'm astonished to find that there are large communities of people that consider it necessary to surrender their freedom and are willingly going to be shorn and sheared and castrated. But I am heartened by the amount of resistance. I'm astonished now because of a personal experience, the number of people that absolutely reject what they can plainly see are various media organizations and various online and government entities cooperating in order to generate stories. What I'm excited by now is the ability to form real-time resistance and real-time opposition. For me, I suppose one area of concern is I don't see enough practical political suggestion for us to get behind that to me would represent a pivotal moment of change. You know, the other day I said people would be better off voting for Trump than Biden. And in some media quarters, that, you know, really popped off and people were outraged that anyone could say such a thing. What I would say in my country, where we're about to, it seems, elect another globalist, is other than Nigel Farage, who is very much aligned with a kind of Britain First type movement, there is no populism. And where there is populism, there's very seldom a spiritual dimension. We're mostly talking about sort of patriotism and borders and immigration, which I recognize are very important issues to a lot of people. But what I suppose I am personally excited by and what I consider to be most important is, how do we re-sacralize these spaces? How do we bring God back into the conversation? How do we assert the right to live holy lives? How do we recover ideas like salvation and redemption and atonement and community and unity and service and kindness, all values that appear to have been diluted out and marginalized by a rationalist discourse that leaves us with nothing but individual goals, the kind of individual goals that we were discussing at the beginning of this conversation, that lead people where they may have some talent to use it to simply pursue personal objectives that will ultimately be unfulfilling. There aren't many templates other than Christianity and the Holy Word, and I'm sure there are other people that have contradictory or competing theological or spiritual views, but there aren't many value systems being widely enough promoted in the political sphere to give me serious hope that there is a alternative to either divisive politics that are run along cultural lines or centrist, globalist, corporatist politics. I would love to see more spiritual values injected into the political conversation, and for that to be done in a way that's appealing and inclusive. And
let's speak to that, because I want to ask you. People sit there and they see you accepting God, accepting Christ, and they say, well, this guy's been totally worldly. We can't listen to him. The whole Bible and common sense is God isn't looking for the Pharisees. He's looking for people that were in the system that come out of it, and we judge tree by its fruits. You are now opposing their system. The system is coming after you because you're the prodigal son. You've been through the wilderness. You've experienced it. You're the most credible type person who's actually experienced this, that is now saying God's the answer. We cannot refuse that. That is true. And if we do refuse that, we're working for the system. But yeah, the old New World Order dogma is coming down. People see it, not just Russell Brand or Joe Rogan, or Joe Rogan's like believes in God now and says we need God, we need Jesus, because we really do. Because the archetype we've been sold is Satan, is Baphomet, is death. You can joke about it, be cute about it, but this is real. And people can instinctively understand there are no atheists in foxholes. So can you speak to... I already asked the question, but like your spiritual awakening, you reaching out to God, what was that process like, Russell Brand?
There are two sons in the prodigal son parable. The son who wanted his inheritance early and squandered it in a life of philandering and excess. And then there's the older son who stayed home and lived a moral life, but on seeing his father's easy embrace of the returning son, feels resentful that he ain't being sufficiently rewarded for his moral and ethical life. An analysis I recently read points out that our Lord and Savior told that story in front of the Pharisees to make the point that Christianity is for sinners. It's to reach out to those of us that are not of this world, that know that this world is never enough, that try to consume this world and eat this world and are found wanting it and find it deficient, that require a spiritual solution. And me, I didn't know where to look for that. People didn't offer me that. Now, I'm really lucky that I found a 12-step solution to my problems with alcohol and drugs. And that opened me up to the possibility, to the certainty that a spiritual solution was what was required. And indeed, it was in being forced to recognize that I built further false idols, vanity, my own success, my own importance. It's a very tenacious idea, the idea of individual success, which I guess is a Luciferian idea, to use the kind of archetypal talk that you were just using there, Alex. Like, when there is great suffering, when I was simultaneously being attacked while my son was having heart surgery while he was 12 weeks old, I was confronted with powerlessness and despair and the recognition that there are dark forces in the world and that there is a requirement for a connection that transcends the self. And whilst I've been praying to God and like I've believed for God a long while and like I have tattoos of Christ on my body, I still, at a deep and unconscious level, was reliant on myself for success or results or for the solution of problems.
You're talking about surrender.
Surrender. And I could surrender by being broken, by recognizing that of myself, I am nothing. And there was something so important about the human Christ, a figure that is both fully human and fully divine, and the ability and necessity to fully accept, I am redeemed through you, Jesus Christ. None of us come up to the standards of God. If it were down to any of us individually, we are all condemned and we are all damned. But through you, Lord, and through your sacrifice,
Russell, let me say this.
Not through anything we've done.
Let me say this. I followed you for years. You're a great, smart guy. I met you like over 10 years ago. I can see it physically. You're 10 times more powerful than you ever were. And it's not about being powerful, but you can see Christ in you. Anybody that actually has Holy Spirit vision can see you're for real. So for all the little doubters and Pharisees saying, why is Russell Brand a Christian now? God came for the sinners. God came for me. I was a horrible sinner. I did terrible things. I beat people to death, did all the stuff people do. I was not a conscious Satanist, but I was prideful. I was a Luciferian. By the time I was about 18, I broke from it. And I'm telling you, Russell, you've done it. And they are so upset you've done this. We can see it on you right now. You are so alive. What is it like when you finally metamorphosized and were born again? Was there a moment it happened, or it happened in a process? And how would you, was it a baptism, or how would you describe, because I can see you're born again. What was that like?
Well, it was, you know, the kind of people that are willing to love you in terrifying times, it appears, are not exclusively Christian, but among them there are many Christians. And I didn't make no choice to, I didn't like individually say, what I think I'll do now is get baptized. I can locate for you some significant moments. A friend of mine, my mate Ralph, sent me the book Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. I'm reading that book and I saw like some footage of Rick Warren talking about his son ending his life through suicide. And when I saw Rick Warren talking about that, I thought, wow, this guy bears no trace of being a highly regarded pastor and spiritual leader who's had the worst thing happen to him that can happen. His child has taken his own life. He's not carrying any shame for that. He doesn't seem to have a subtext of, well, I guess I'm not all that, because otherwise I'd have been able to prevent my kid from killing himself. He had no trace of that, just openness and honesty and love behind the incredible grief that he was rendering. Then in that book, the first four or five words, it's not about you. Like the recognition, like, oh my God, I keep falling into self-centeredness. I find it so hard not to go back to self-centeredness. And my mate Bear Grylls, you know, like Bear Grylls from Running Wild and a former member of the SAS, you know, he said to me, we're getting baptized, you know, because in that book, it talks about baptism and belonging to a church and reading the word of God. And I'm sort of slowly, reluctantly, tentatively, and with great vulnerability and some resistance doing this. And then he says, we're going to get baptized on the 28th of April. And I'm like, oh, I'm not getting, am I getting baptized? Am I really getting baptized? Is that going to happen? And then, you know, he comes to my house. I live near the River Thames. And him and my mate Joe get in the river with the pasta that he brought with us. And I tell you, I felt like I was coughing stuff up. Like I felt like a real change in the little ceremony.
It was like an exorcism
for it.
It felt like that. When you make the decision to go, because I was a devil too. And when I made that move at about 18, I could, you say I was throwing up. It was in my own room by myself, but it's real. You were throwing off all this energy.
When you visit drjonesnaturals.com, you'll find amazing brain boost nootropics like Top Brain. It's incredible. But it still uses classical systems to stimulate the neurons in the brain and to give you energy. Next Level Foundational Energy does not do that. It is the breakdown of folic acid into methylfolate mixed with other natural compounds that are known to push it into the cells. It then cleans up the mitochondria and allows more energy to be brought into the cell. You will feel dramatic energy when you take Next Level Foundational Energy with no letdown. But if you are a European or Northern European, most of us have partially broken genes and cannot absorb folic acid or process it properly. If you have broken genes, you are going to feel explosive energy. So be very, very, very careful when you first get Next Level Foundational Energy. It funds the operation. It's an amazing product. Everybody should experience it. It's discounted now, right now, and exclusively available at drjonesnaturals.com. That's drjonesnaturals.com. There's a lot of other amazing products as well at drjonesnaturals.com, and they keep my show on the air. So I want to thank you all for your past support and encourage all of you to visit drjonesnaturals.com right now. And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.
It felt like that.
When you made the decision to go, because I was a devil too. And when I made that move at about 18, I was throwing up. It was in my own room by myself, but it's real. You were throwing off all this energy.
Yeah, I feel like it gets on you, man. That stuff is tenacious. And straight after that, my friend cut his foot up in the River Thames, which is a pretty common experience, actually. And we had to go straight to the emergency room, get my friend's foot stitched up, which Bear Grylls had done a pretty damn good job of binding, actually, because he is, after all, Bear Grylls. And then from that moment, what I feel like is I still feel vulnerable. I still feel tentative. I feel like the need for continual prayer. I feel like the need for continual communion. I feel like I want guidance. But now I know Christ is real. Now I have a relationship with Christ. There is a God, and it is not
me.
What
happened in the moment when you got shoved? Describe it. When you got shoved in the water, what happened?
The moment, the build up to it was incredible. And the moment that I felt kind of fearful and afraid. And I was like, this is not just a symbolic act. This is, you get underwater pretty regular. I get in cold plunges all the time. I went backwards under that water, Bear Grylls on one side and my mate Joe on the other side. And I came back out and received the blessing and everything. And I was just I felt very relieved and I felt grace and I felt pretty good, actually, and at ease. But before I could get into communicating about it and saying, hey, I think this is real, this has done something to me, I feel different, my friend had gashed his foot. And Bear Grylls is Bear Grylls, so he's like, we're going to have to go straight to the emergency room. The next 10 minutes is going to require you to be a man, Joe, he said, while pouring a strong disinfectant on my friend's foot and then binding it up, not using leaves and branches, but actually just
household
band-aids.
But I want to be clear about this, because I've been through this as well. Anybody that insults the Holy Spirit coming on someone, that's one of the worst curses. People need to realize Saul of Tarsus hunted down Christians by the hundreds and murdered them. And he got hit on the road to Damascus by the Spirit of God. This should be celebrated. And Russell, I can see it in your face. I can see from the person you were before to the person you are now, I can see it in your face. And that's what scares them so much. It's beautiful. I mean, I see Christ working in you. And I want to be clear to listeners. The church is where the devil operates. He takes those over. If you want to find Satan worshipers, go to a mainline church. Almost all the churches are controlled. What do I mean? You've got to pray to God and say, God, I want justice. I want freedom. I want to be good. I know this is a spiritual journey. I want you to have the church in me. And it's got to be about that. So don't, because I know so many people look at the church and say, I'm not part of that. Absolutely, we're not part of that, but we have to realize, I don't tell people these stories, but literally, folks, my whole life, it was a fight between the God and the devil in the last 20 years, or 30 years before, I made the deal with God 30 years ago, but the point was, it's still been a battle, and now I can't even compute the knowledge I've been given, the discernment, the over-the-horizon knowledge, the things God tells me to show me is wild, and that's only God. I tell the story because it's true. It happened four times in a week about a month ago because God wanted me to follow his orders immediately. It usually happens once a month. I'll wake up at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., 5 a.m., and I don't keep my phone. The room is just toxic and bad. There's no phone in the room. It's all dark. And I wake up at 4 a.m., and God goes, go right now to your phone that's laying on the bathroom counter and look at it. It's going to be 4 a.m. And I get up. I walk. It's 4 a.m. And then God goes, now you think that wasn't me. Count down. There's 15 seconds left. I count down, and it goes to 401. And that's the type. This is real, folks. There is a extraordinary outside force that wants us to be successful that is giving us information. But there's also forces that do not want us to be successful. And if you just dial into that's real, then you have all the answers. That's the point I'm making, Russell.
Yeah, it's atemporal and aspatial, that we are in this box of space and time. And within the box of space and time, we only receive limited data and we can only observe limited patterns on a limited sensory bandwidth. Through Christ, all things become possible and all things become available. And just a glimpse of that, just a moment of that passing through me is enough to change me. But this world, with its temptations and with its sin and with its corrupting influences and its systems of control, it too is tenacious. It too don't want to release us. And I feel great revelation and I feel great hope. And sometimes I wonder, is the message just let it all happen? Just let this stuff happen. Because I know that surrender, as you said, Alex, is a big part of this. But when I read, as I am, the Bible, it feels like the early church is a very, very radical movement indeed, that it is about opposing evil very, very directly. Now, I know that none of us individually has the right to suggest or ordain how that might go, but I know that all of us individually and therefore collectively have a duty to find this path, to find this light, and to do our own best job of conveying it. And it's very difficult for me, Alex, as a person that has always been captivated by these systems, to recognize that this is a different type of surrender. This is a different type of journey. You know, not everything I did was like, you know, like I'm a good stand-up comedian. I'm in movies. It's cool. You know, like I was a sinner and I'm happy to be redeemed. But like I recognize now that what is required of us is something that is, the reason I bring up that stuff about how do we incorporate this into this movement of resistance, of radicalism, of necessary overthrow and opposition, is because nothing else is going to be able to do it. I can see that.
No, I totally agree. So let me say something about you. I got to meet you in a few interviews when you were, you know, married to the big music star, and you were telling me behind the scenes and on air about your awakening to the Illuminati. Then I met you in Austin. I went to one of your events. And you were a big, powerful guy. You're a powerful spirit. You can see it. Like, wow, that's Russell Brand. This guy's, you know, intimidating, just like Trump is, or, you know, other people like that. Like, oh, God, this guy's important. But then I could still see in your eyes, you were like shifting in and out. You were conflicted. You weren't a Satanist and you weren't a Christian. I could see like in your eyes, like, bzz, 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 you were like back and forth. Now, I'm only telling you this because everybody can see it. You are so powerful now in Christ. They can see that, so they will come after you. What is the process in your family like? Because I can see it over this video conference. I'm sure you've – what are your dreams now? Because with me fully joining Christ, it's just insanely good. I can't believe nobody – what is it like for you now that you are serving Christ and it's going on for years? Now you're declaring it, which they come after you for. What was that threshold like?
Well, what I feel like now, Alex, is that – what I do next is not going to be determined by me. And you know that, of course, personally, because of the significant opposition and the nature of the attacks that anyone who's in this space is likely to receive. It's incredible to be in a family. It's incredible to suddenly recognize what incredible gifts I've been given. I've got 3 children. I've got 2 daughters. I've got a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old that adore me and love me. I've got a beautiful, kind wife. I recognize now that I've been defined by greed and wanting and longing and always wanting more. I've been given the gift of a little son who, when I heard in that scan that he was going to be born with a heart condition and that there were going to be challenges and necessary surgery and that he might not make it and that they were offering, you know, to terminate that pregnancy. This offering of my son, the experience of being in hospitals where you are surrounded by sick children, children that are not going to make it. When you walk through an oncology ward while escaping paparazzi, while facing mass attacks, you recognize that where the truth is amid suffering. You recognize that beauty is abundant and that suffering grants us the opportunity to suffer correctly and to let go of a lot of things that I was gripping onto that were meaningless. When I first heard that my child was going to be born with these problems, I said to my wife, I rejected it. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through the experience of children's hospitals and tubes up the nose and surgery. Now I know what a blessing it is to be in a children's hospital, to hand over your child to an anaesthetist, to have your child with tubes up their little nose, to come back and be told that the surgery was a success, to walk the halls of a hospital where every child is suffering from a life-threatening condition or perhaps is blessed enough to have been saved, where every doctor, where every nurse is dedicated to something important and significant. Suddenly, like any of us that have suffered through the suffering, you recognize that you have been in illusion, that it might not be some incredible lightning flash or thunder clap, but it might be love, love that shows you your vulnerability, love that shows you a different path. Now I recognize that my pathway will be different. I know that I am still going to experience fear. I hate feeling fear, Alex Jones. I do not enjoy that feeling of being attacked. I do not enjoy the feeling of knowing that there are dark powers in high principalities out there. I do not like it, but I know that there is a higher grace and I know that there is a higher power. And I know that if I continue to surrender and yield, that power is available, not to me to serve myself, but for me that I may be useful. And this is the early days of this journey for me. So I'm undertaking it with tutelage and guidance and with tentativeness. And I hope humility, because I can see that humility is what is absolutely vital in this position.
Beautifully said. The Great Awakening is here. We're about to end this interview. You're going to interview me. I appreciate all your time. Russell, I love you. I can see it on your face. What's happening? We're all in this together. And we're in an amazing time for all of humanity and the whole future. This is such a magic time, and it's about reuniting with family and God and just having courage and moving forward. But all I know is the animating contest of liberty that Thomas Jefferson talked about and challenging evil point blank and saying, I can't beat this, but God can beat this. It's in me. That is who shows us who we are. And we're not meant to be Satanists and just run around and have a good time all day. God, folks, it is the persecution that is going to make us strong. It's Nietzschean. That which doesn't kill us only makes us stronger. In closing here, because we just had Tucker Carlson on. We're airing this right now. We're taping this on Thursday. It airs tomorrow. Could be our last show. The planets align with Tucker and you. The judge says he's probably shutting it down tomorrow, which we're airing this right now on Friday. In closing, because you and Tucker are very, you know, very, very humble, we need people to celebrate folks who are telling the truth, that are leaders. How do people find Russell Brand, all the things you do?
We stream every day at 12 ET on Rumble, the free speech platform. That's where you can find me. Please follow us there if you are inclined. It's free every day for 1 hour, streaming live, 12 ET. Thanks, Alex.
Russell, thank you so much. And again, how do people follow you on X?
I think I'm called Rusty Rockets or something bloody stupid, but it'll come up under Russell Brand, I think, as well.
All right, brother. Thank you so much. And it's beautiful to see what you've done in your life. You've always been a powerful soul, and it's good to be on the same team. We really love Russell Brand. Thank you, Russell Brand.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Alex.
I don't know what I'd do if I saw Fauci walking down the street or Bill Gates. I mean, he's so outrageously evil. He's such a murderer. And we need to have, you know, you're a Christian, you're a father, you're a theologian, you're able to be really calm and nice about this. I know you're pissed off about it, but the thing is, take action, folks. Resist them, protect yourself from them, expose them. What do we do biblically, do you think, to just spiritually be able to deal with this?
Well, we can't deal with stuff like this on our own. You have to lean on God. You have to, because when you look at what he is, he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that we're going through. In the midst of the storm, he brings peace. We know how this game ends, and we know who wins, right? And the Bible tells us every knee must bow, the knee of sickness, the knee of disease, the knee of all these things that we're seeing. And we know what happens to the devil. Jesus throws him in the pit, right? And so we know who wins this. But here's the thing. God never told us that this life was going to be easy. He never told us. In fact, he told us the opposite. He said, Jesus said, you know, take up your cross and follow me. People are going to oppose you for following me. But you know what? The end result is going to be better if you follow me than if you don't. Right? So look at the opposition, take the opposition, but never deviate from that path of following truth and following victory, and that strength of God who created the universe, who put all of his creativity in us because we were created in his image, we have to realize we've got that power of God pulsating through our veins every single day because we're created in his image. And when we do that, we can have confidence that, like what Psalms tells us, and we can rest under the shadow of his wings, that the enemy will come near our tent, but they can't come into it, right? So
look at the enemy. They're all slaves. Satan always destroys them. Even before they die, we see them betrayed. We see them destroyed. And we see billions and billions of dollars spent by the federal government secretly with just Walgreens and CVS alone to not prescribe ivermectin. So all this evil, you wonder, why are they not giving people the drug that they now admit works? Because they wanted to hurt people. They wanted people fearful, but it took billions to buy them off to do the evil, and the devil has the control of the purse. He has the power of the earth right now. He's the God of this world right now. But it shows every bit of it is mercenaries working against their own self-interest for a little bit of money.
Our firm is just different. We charge 8% when you purchase, 0% when you liquidate. We buy directly from the depository in Shiner, Texas, the Texas Precious Metals Depository. So their wholesale prices, you tack on 8%, they ship it directly to you. When you sell it back, we take nothing, zero, and whatever the depository prices are, you get all of it. See, that's a huge difference from buying a rare coin, something that has a high commission, high premium, where even after the big move in silver that we've seen, you still haven't even broken even.
KEPM.com/gold. Check them out. Go on the site. Call them. Get a consultation. Email them. Talk to them. 720-605-3900. KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. And for breaking news and updates, be sure and follow me at Real Alex Jones here on X.